Screen. Yeah, I'm super excited to be with you Memorial Sunday. Thanks for coming to church. For all those in person, everyone who's tuning in online, thanks for making this a part of your holiday weekend. And we're wrapping up a series today called Chosen. And it started a few weeks ago when we did our partnership with World Vision. And it's been a few weeks since I've had a chance to preach a message. So again, for me personally, it's always a real gift to come and be able to open up God's Word. And really, I hope that all of our communicators know this. I'm going to, encourage Claire over at Bush Lake, Dan at West Tonka, the campus pastors. When we're preaching a message, we're really trying our best to be attentive to God's voice, to listen so that it's not just our words that are here, but we're really trying to be vessels unto which God encourages and uplifts his church. And on weeks or in seasons when I'm doing a little bit more preaching, one of the ways that I really try to hear from God or kind of quiet myself enough to hear from God is through walking. And some of that is, it's a little bit hard for me to sit still sometimes. So I think God redeems that in my walking. I really get a chance to connect with him. And we have beautiful grounds here at the Cheyenne Aston campus. If any of you have ever kind of walked around here, you kind of know that beautiful green space. And so as on a week when I'm preaching, I like to take a walk around our space. And again, just be available. God, what you might say to this group of people. And in order for me to get from my office, which is in the upper level here downstairs, I have to walk by someone's desk on our team who has kind of the spiritual gift of snacks. So I don't know if you know who these people are, but they always have something like salty or sweet. And the snacks honestly are a trap. Okay, I've realized this. It's to lure you in so you can have a conversation, get to know people, which I'm all for. But I was supposed to be out hearing from the Lord, but I got lured in for a snack. And this person is kind of so intentional with wanting these snacks to be a place to converse and have a conversation that she has on a little stand, a conversation cart. So like a new one every day. And it's just a way, to get us talking, getting to know one another. And so when I was walking by, kind of in my attempt to hear from the Lord, the question on the card was, what's an office buzzword that drives you nuts? Okay, so now as I say that, some of you might be thinking, if you're kind of in an office environment, you might be thinking, yeah, I think I know a few of those. But I was standing there, I've got my snack in hand, so I'm here now. This is what we're going to talk about. And I'm stumped. I can't think of anything. And, I'm holding this, thinking about this, and then it kind of dawns on me. The reason I'm stumped is I'm the one that comes up with all the buzzwords. And, I love them and like little catchphrases and things like that. And I'm realizing this might be driving some people nuts. But, I don't know. I think I'm not the only one that maybe has some buzzwords or catchphrases. Some of you, maybe it could be in the office or it could be when you're with friends or maybe in your parenting. Some of you probably have some phrases you like to say a lot to your kids. Maybe when you're having a good time, some buzzwords come out of your mouth. And so I switched the question. I was like, rather than the buzzword that drives you crazy, what about the ones that you just love to keep saying? And I thought about that and I said, the one that I say a lot in the office and I say it in church. Sometimes if you see me out greeting in the parking lot, I'll say this too, but this is the one I say a lot. God is on the move. God is on the move. And really, I want to be honest with you. I hope that's not just a buzzword. I hope that's not just a buzzworthy phrase that we say in church. I pray it's kind of a praiseworthy phrase. Because it says this in Acts 17:28, for in Christ we live and move and have our being. And so as we're wrapping up our Chosen series today, I really couldn't think of a better phrase to describe what's happened in our church over the last three, four weeks. I mean, it started off with World Vision when we did that great partnership. We had Steve Spear come and share a great story and invite us to consider being sponsored, being chosen by a child in another part of the world, for us specifically in Malawi, Africa. And over 600 of you gave that opportunity for a child in need. We've been chosen for that very purpose. He's on the move. God was on the move when we celebrated our 30th anniversary. I hope many of you either were at that service or had a chance to rewatch it. And we kind of saw that God chooses ordinary people to be part of extraordinary things through his church. And then last Sunday, Dr. Sammy was with us, part of our church family. He leads this organization called Merge, which is doing an outreach event here in the Twin Cities, June 7th. And we kind of saw that it feels like our city is being chosen right now to be part of a move of God. The nations, the families of the earth are coming here. And we've got an opportunity as a community to say, do you know Jesus? And how can we be part of that good work? And so God's on the move. And if I could be known for a little bit of a buzzworthy phrase that maybe drives you nuts, I want it to be that one. And I want that to be a phrase, a praiseworthy phrase that we keep saying, that we keep believing in, because that's what God does. He moves. You know, I think some people have a picture of God where he's kind of suspended up in the heavens, you know, kind of peering down about what's happening here on earth. And I think what I want to encourage us with is the truth that, no, God's moving. He's alive. He's active. In him, we live and we move and we have our being. And as I look at how God maybe has been at work in our world, all throughout the Bible, all throughout history, is I think a lot of the way he moves in this world is through choosing people. Ordinary people like you and I to be part of extraordinary things. And perhaps nowhere do we see kind of this approach of God that his wondrous grace invites us to be part of the world, changing the world. I don't think we see it in a more poignant place than in the person of Jesus Christ. Because when we look closely at the life of Jesus, kind of how his story and journey unfolds, I think we're gonna see what it really means to be chosen. And I think we're going to really see what it means to kind of, what it's going to feel like, what it does feel like to be caught up in a move of God. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 4. And I want to read for you kind of a pivotal moment in Jesus' life. It's kind of the moment where he announces himself as the chosen one. It's kind of a really fascinating part of the story. So this is Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. And again, if you have a Bible, electronic or good old paper, you can follow along with me. But the reason I'm not going to put it on the screen is I just want you to maybe take in this moment. Kind of bring yourself back to the first century. And with your mind's eye, imagine this powerful scene unfolding. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone were fixed. They were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "This day, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is a springboard moment, if you will, in Jesus' life. Many theologians talk about it as where Jesus' public ministry begins. And actually, I love how there's a New Testament scholar whose his name is Daryl Bach. He kind of comments on this passage, and he writes this here. He says, "Jesus' reading of Isaiah is a deliberate self-identification with the servant of the Lord," kind of an Old Testament callback. "It's an announcement of his divine mission. He is the anointed one, the chosen one, who brings deliverance not in a political sense, but in a deeply spiritual and restorative way." This is his inaugural address. His inaugural address. In other words, this is not just a kind of an everyday reading in a church service. This is the moment that Jesus is making kind of a world-altering declaration. I'm chosen. I've been chosen. And this is what I've come to do. But there's something I think we all need to maybe realize about how the life of a chosen person unfolds. And you'll see this in Jesus' life too, because before he steps into that very pivotal inaugural moment, really before any of us kind of step into our chosenness by God, we first have to receive something that God wants to give us. And Jesus had to receive this too. In fact, if we back up the story just a little bit, if you'll see in a few chapters before this moment in Luke 4, in chapter 3, Jesus is the recipient of something powerful from God. Look at this. This is Luke 3, verses 21 through 22. We're at Jesus' baptism. Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. You know, what's so profound, I think, about the chosen life, what it means to be chosen, it's right there in verse 22, which is the end of this passage here. And a voice, it's God's voice, came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. I am well pleased. And you know, someone who's maybe got a bit of an achiever complex, you know, I like to get things done and accomplish and be successful and all those things that maybe we get drawn to in life. You know the word that I get stuck on? It's the word pleased. And the reason I get stuck on it is because God is saying, I'm proud of you, Jesus. But Jesus hasn't really done anything yet. I mean, think about it. All the things that Jesus is known for, his famous sermons, the healing of hundreds of people, multiplying bread and fish to feed thousands, all of those things that we read about, he hasn't done any of those things yet. And yet God says to him, I'm proud of you. In other words, before Jesus accomplishes much of what we know him for, he has to receive something from God. He has to receive everything that God wants to give him. His sonship, his love. He's proud of him. And you know, as a parent maybe, now I think I can relate to this a little bit better because I love to tell my kids I'm proud of them. And not because of the things they've done, not my son who scores a touchdown in flag football or when my daughter brings home a spelling test and she aced it, even though I do get excited about those things. I do. But truly, I'm proud of them because they're mine. Think of that as God's voice echoing from heaven over Jesus, maybe even over you. Really over you, calling you his. And friends, someone here may need to hear that again, or maybe for the first time. God is already pleased with you, not because of what you've done or failed to do, but simply because you're his. And so can I encourage you today to let that voice, let God's voice be the loudest voice in your life. Because how many know there are a lot of other voices that try to tell us a lot of other things? But the voice of God says to you, you are chosen just as you are. And this is God's move in our life. The first thing that happens when we're chosen is God moves to us and he says, you're mine. Not because of what you've done, but because of whose you are. But how many also know this? Like when God meets somebody, when he finds somebody, and you may know this in your own story in life, you usually don't stay where you are either. In other words, when you're part of the chosenness of God, and when he first moves to you in his grace, you can anticipate this. He's going to keep moving. You won't be caught standing still. You're going to start to be caught up in the very move of God. And have you ever been like caught up in something before? I think I kind of witnessed that, experienced that this last week, where I'm sure, like many of you, I was invited to participate in a elementary school track and field day. Any of you went to an elementary school track and field day this week? Okay, some of you did. And so I came to see my second oldest son, Tate. He's in first grade. And I don't know if you've ever been to one of these before, but it's crazy town. Like, the kids are running around, as they should. But it can't always be held together. So they're all running around, and all the grandparents and grandparents are lining up. And I went on a day where it was like 40 degrees outside. So it was a couple Mondays ago, and everyone's with a winter hat on and their winter gloves and, you know, bundled up in blankets. And then there's bullhorns blaring all over the place as the gym teachers are trying to get these kids to line up to actually do what we're supposed to do there. And they finally got them lined up, and they were doing the relay race with the baton passing. And my son, Tate, was kind of the third person in line. And you could tell, as soon as the first kid jumped off, all these kids started to zero in. And you could see like a little bit of bounce in their step, and they were kind of getting ready. I'm ready to catch this baton and keep running. And I'm getting drawn in. You know, I'm feeling like, why am I bouncing? Like this, I'm not even in this race. And then I'm watching my youngest son, Crew. I brought Crew with me to come and participate in this. And as soon as Tate got the baton, my youngest son thankfully didn't run into the relay race, but on the sidelines, he started running with him. You know, like pretending that he was like, yeah, I'm going to go and run. And he couldn't keep up with him as fast because he's 3 years old, but he was going for it. And I'm telling you, this is what it can be like. This is what it should feel like to be caught up in something, to be caught up in the move of God. Because you don't know what's always coming next when God's writing the story of your life. But I pray you know this, I pray you feel this, that you want to be in it, that you start to get drawn in, that maybe you start to bounce a little bit thinking, what might God be doing next? That's being caught up in something bigger than yourself. That's moving as God is moving. And again, as we're about to see, there's always another move of God on its way for those of us that are chosen in his story. And Jesus experienced the same thing too. Right after his baptism, look at where God moves him next. This is Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, which is where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, might be the understatement of Scripture, he was hungry. 40 days. But look at this. He was led by who? The Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that descends on him like a dove at his baptism now leads him into a dry and desolate place where, again, for 40 days, he's tempted. He's vulnerable. He's hungry. And if you read on in this temptation kind of story of Jesus, you'll notice the enemy pounces and ruthlessly tempts Jesus to do what I think the enemy has always tried to get God's chosen to do, to doubt God's power. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? You can eat. Or to twist God's promises. Why don't you throw yourself down? The angels will pick you up. What a spectacle that will be. Or maybe to bypass God's plan. You don't need to go to the cross. Just bow down to me. All the kingdoms, they'll be yours. You can have them right now. You could say that in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted to doubt or maybe even squander his chosenness, to use his power for himself rather than for other people, or to seek influence without going through the way of God, to obeying God's plans, or to grasp for the crown and avoid the cross altogether. And friends, if you've ever felt like you've been in a wilderness before, you know, if you've ever kind of felt the moment that I say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden opposition shows up in my life, maybe you're not doing something wrong at all. Maybe you're on the path of the chosen. Maybe you're being caught up in another move of God, realizing kind of a profound truth in this chosen message, and that is this idea that God chooses you as you are, but he never leaves you where you are. In other words, being chosen means you're going to be on the move, just like God is. And sometimes you're going to go to some unexpected places. And we kind of see that theme all throughout the Bible. I think of Abraham. You know, he's chosen by God. He's blessed to be a blessing to all the nations, but first, he has to leave everything he ever knew. Or think of Moses, right? Spared by God, chosen to lead the people of Israel out of slavery, but he, kind of like Jesus, had to go through a literal wilderness before he could step in fully to that call. Or think of David, you know, chosen as the king of Israel. But he needed to move through another wilderness of sorts, not necessarily a literal one, but a figurative one. His own sin, his own vices tripping him up all the time. He had to move through those to not just become king, but to become what the psalmist would say is a man after God's own heart. And moving through a wilderness is kind of a real part of the journey. Maybe it's even an unavoidable part of the chosen journey. And some of you truly might be in a wilderness of sorts right now. I don't know, maybe some of you have been waiting for God for something. Could be for a healing, could be for a job, could be for a child. And you're still waiting. Or maybe you're feeling kind of a spiritual apathy. And everyone around you feels like they're all in on their faith. And you wonder, why? Or maybe you've just gone through some significant challenges in life. Maybe even recently. And you're just starting to wonder, what's this Christian life all about anyway? You know, we all experience things like this. We go through the wilderness. I mean, I've had my experiences too. I can distinctly remember kind of a time in my early 20s. You know, and you're at those junctures in life where you're trying to not mess up your entire life. You put that much pressure on yourself in your 20s. And I, you know, I was at school at the University of Wisconsin. I was a microbiology major. Some of you may have heard this me tell this story before. And I was just racking my brain around, what am I supposed to do with my life? Am I supposed to go and be a doctor, make my parents proud? You kind of live the story I think I'm supposed to. Or I would go to all these church settings and campus ministry settings, and my heart would just sing in those moments. And I thought, well, what? But I think I want to be in ministry. And I felt caught. I felt confused. I felt like if I chose the wrong path, I was going to disappoint God and my family. And now in hindsight, I kind of realized God wasn't trying to trick me or avoid me. He was forming me. He was moving in me, growing my faith to truly trust him with the direction of my life. And so take heart, friends. God doesn't waste the wilderness. In fact, he often uses the wilderness to prepare us for why we've been chosen in the first place. Because God's the one leading. I mean, he's the one who's writing this beautiful story, guiding us to places where we can live out our chosenness. And again, this is what we see in the life of Jesus too. Because right after Jesus emerged from the wilderness, would you look at that? We're right back to where we started. Moments before that inaugural address, Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. And really, I just love Luke's intentionality in how he shows that the Holy Spirit has been with Jesus through this entire time. Because remember, we read earlier, when Jesus enters the wilderness, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And here we are 40 days later, and he leaves in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we mistake being chosen for maybe being comfortable. Or we think God's choosing is kind of this one-time moment that happens in our life. But Jesus shows us that being chosen doesn't mean life is easier or more privileged. It was never meant to be kind of a sit back and enjoy moniker. I'm chosen. I'm invincible. No. Being chosen is being caught up in the move of God. And the first move is God moves to us. And we just have to receive what he wants to give us. And that is our belovedness. He says he's proud of us, that we belong to him just as we are. And then he starts to move in us, sometimes even in wilderness seasons. And he's preparing us, and he's forming us, and he's empowering us to be in love like Jesus, which sets us up to receive a third move of God in our life. If the first move is his move to us in grace, And if his second move is his move in us in power, then his third move is moving through us in love, as he chooses each of us to be part of his mission in the world. This is how God is on the move for the chosen. And Jesus now says this to his disciples. He says in John 15, 16, "You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." You know, in this moment here, Jesus is choosing his disciples specifically, personally. And the goodness of the Christian story is now Jesus is speaking to you specifically, personally. And in the same way the ministry of Jesus was inaugurated by him reading the scroll from Isaiah in that Nazarene synagogue, something can be inaugurated in you today as we read these words of Jesus again. In fact, on kind of commenting on this passage, one of my favorite theologians, a guy named N.T. Wright, who's an Anglican theologian, he says this: when God goes to work, when Jesus becomes king, human beings are not downgraded, reduced to being pawns or ciphers. In God's kingdom, humans get to reflect God at last into the world in the way they were meant to. They become more fully what humans were meant to be. Have you ever longed to be fully who you were meant for? What you were meant for? Well, friends, being chosen is what it means to be fully human. Because when you know you're chosen, not because of what you've done, but because of whose you are, the beloved of God, and because of who is in you, the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have faith that there is no better life, truly, no better life than the one caught up in the move of God. Doesn't mean it's always going to be the easiest life. But when you embrace a life where God is moving to you in grace, in you in power, and moving through you in love, you'll believe this powerful truth, kind of a sticky statement again, that God chooses you as you are, but he never leaves you where you are. Your life's going to go somewhere when you say yes to receive your chosenness, when you say yes to being caught up in a move of God, when you say yes to being brought to a place where, kind of like N.T. Wright says, you're going to become more fully who you were meant to be. You know, I kind of think about that journey when I consider our partnership with World Vision. Again, I just want to say thank you to a church family that extends out with generosity to allow kids in different parts of the world to choose you to be their sponsor. And I actually had a chosen experience before all of us did. And I serve, as one of the real gifts of my life is I get to serve on the board of directors for World Vision. And as part of my onboarding, they said, we want you to experience Chosen for yourself. And so I went down to Bolivia in South America, and they said, bring a good picture of your family, and we want you to experience Chosen. So I went down there, and they set up a Chosen tent. So I'm going to show you a quick picture of this. And so they have this tent that's there, and inside the tent is everyone's picture that's hanging up. So I brought the best picture I could, which was, you know, all four kids somewhat smiling. They don't always smile in every picture, so they were almost all smiling. And I wanted our yellow lab, Rosie, in there, so their picture is up there. And how they set this up is, when I first got there, this is what I imagined it would be like. I imagined it would be, they open the tent up, and, you know, hundreds of kids flood in, and everyone's trying to pick a picture, you know, go, 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 go. You know, this is me, I can't sit still kind of thing. And it wasn't that. The tent opens one kid at a time. And so I'm standing out in the front, or in front of the tent, and the tent kind of opens up. One kid walks in, tent closes, and they get the chance to just be there. Not rushed, unhurried. And they get to look through every picture and choose. And so you can just imagine being me watching a kid walk in. And, you know, I'm a competitive person, so I'm like, oh, surely we'll be one of the first people picked. A cute family, you know, a cute dog in there. Yeah, yeah. But we weren't the first picked, nor the second, nor the third. And can I be honest with you? I felt it. I felt not being chosen. Even though I knew it wasn't personal, you know, I'm there to celebrate. All these kids are coming through and they're going to find sponsors and it's something we all should cheer on. But I have to be honest with you, I did feel a little bit of an ache, a little bit of a sting. Because there's something deep in all of us that longs to be wanted, that longs to be chosen. And then, finally, felt like it took a long time, but finally, a child did step out with our photo in hand. And can I be honest with you? Like, that was a thrilling feeling for me. I mean, look at my smile. She doesn't seem interested at all. But I had a blast. Like, finally, someone chose us. That was Daria, who's our kid in Bolivia. And in that moment, I think I got the tiniest glimpse of God's heart, of what it must be like for God to long for his children to choose him. Maybe for him to feel the ache when sometimes we walk by. But oh, the delight when we turn ever so slightly toward his face. Friends, can I encourage you? This is who God is, truly. A God who chooses us as his, and with an open heart, he's saying, you can choose me back. I'll never force that on you. He's a God who moves to us and he says, you're my child. With you, I am well pleased. I choose you just as you are, not because of your accomplishments. He's a God who moves in us, giving us the Holy Spirit, filling us and preparing us with power, power, so that we can be in love like Jesus. He's a God that ultimately wants to move through us. In his wondrous grace, he decides that he could trust us, that we could be part of transforming this very world so that we could become all we were meant to be, so that we could be in love like the chosen one himself, Jesus. So can I say it maybe one more time for you? You are chosen for a purpose. And like Jesus, every gift you've been given, every breath you breathe, every dream you carry, it's all for a God who's on the move. He's on the move in your life, and he's on the move in this world. It's all for a God who chooses you just as you are. He meets you wherever you might be. It's all for a God who's also going to take you some places that you could never go just by yourself. And so maybe to make this practical, maybe to give you an application, where might you be sensing God on the move in your life right now? This week? Sometime today? And what would it look like for you to join him? To say yes to where he is on the move? You know, maybe right now you're getting what we call a God prompting. Someone is surfacing in your life who may just need to be reminded that God is for them, not against them. And he might use you to say that beautiful message to someone that, hey, you're chosen, not because of what you've done, but because of whose you are. Maybe there's someone in your life that you know is going through a wilderness right now. Maybe their faith is being tested. Maybe they're going through a difficulty or a hardship. Maybe they've been waiting for some time for God to move. And you might need to come alongside them and just say, he's moving. Have faith to believe that he will come through. Or maybe you're just going to take a moment this week and pray. And you're just going to say, God, if there's a need out there somewhere in this world, in my neighborhood, in my church, that I could maybe help meet, move through me today and help me meet a need for your honor and glory. Because again, God in his wonder and grace is choosing to move to us, in us, and through us for his glory. And just like my son, Crew, my youngest son, watching those elementary school kids running wild in a relay race, maybe you too are going to get caught up in something today. Maybe you're going to be caught up in a move of God, because again, God chooses you as you are, but he never leaves you where you are. So you might be on a walk this week, sometime this week, kind of like I was earlier. Don't be surprised if God meets you there. Don't be surprised if his voice whispers, maybe even echoes from heaven, saying to you, you are chosen. And with you, I am well pleased. Don't be surprised if you find yourself starting to run. Not in an elementary school relay race, but in a divine race that's marked out for you. Being caught up in God's move to you, his grace calling you his. Being caught up in God's move in you, giving you the Holy Spirit, forming and preparing you so that you can receive and be caught up in God's move through you, being sent out by that same Spirit to become all you are meant to be. So just like Jesus, don't be tempted of just knowing you're chosen. Live like it. Don't let being chosen lull you into a life where you stop moving, saying, look at me, I'm chosen. No. Being chosen is about leaning in to a life transformed and a life that will transform others through the power of a living and active God who in his wondrous grace, asks you, invites you, chooses you to be part of what he's doing in this world. And so as I close this message, could you open your hands with me? Practice we have at Westwood to have our physical posture align with the spiritual reality that God's on the move and he wants to give you something today. So Lord, you see our hands open. We're ready to receive what only you can give. We're not going to fall for temptation. Like Jesus, we're going to remain strong and we're going to receive our chosenness and know that it's for a purpose to be with you in your move in this world. And we're going to receive your move to us, calling us beloved. Your move in us, giving us the Holy Spirit. Your move through us, helping be part of making this world exactly what it was always meant to be. Helping people know exactly who they were meant to be. People that need to choose you as you choose them. So God, this Memorial Weekend, use us to your end. We want to live our chosenness for your honor and for your glory. We pray that in the name above every name, in the name of the chosen one himself, Jesus. And everyone said together, amen. Amen.